This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think...
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
By the way, I had my first experience watching a live television broadcast with the Lakers. Because I was in Southern California. I was watching on Spectrum. So that was an experience in its
own. How was that?
It was not great. I like Pete and Brevin. That's what I like.
I think we're spoiled here in Memphis. Yeah. I'll put it that way.
And also, you know, it's the opposing team's.
Also, oh, so the Jake Moravia revenge tour this past weekend was hurt.
But
it was great.
Cedric Coward, there was a chance late in the game. Lakers are up one in that first Lakers game.
Right.
And that sort of primetime defense they tried to give that assignment against Luka, that was, I think there was a bit of a learning moment for him. And maybe you don't. I always wonder this. Do you even learn in those moments against guys like Luka?
Probably
like,
so.
Just a little bit. Yeah. Like how to handle it a little bit better. But like those guys can score at will against even the best defenders.
I mean, Luka's one of the best scorers we've ever seen.
But yeah, he definitely got. He got taken out of the game pretty shortly thereafter. Because Isla's like, I can't. That's not a matchup I want out there right now.
No, it's the injuries.
But he again, like to what you're saying about Cedric, he's got more than enough. 7'2 wingspan, athleticism to become a great defender. It's just not. He's still baking.
Yeah, I'm not going to get too worried about a rookie getting cooked by
Luka Doncic. You know what I mean?
Especially when he's looked viable against lesser talent. Like Luka, it shouldn't be the bar of success for a rookie.
Sure. Yeah. No, I understand.
Right.
I understand. But I'm just saying, there's a lot of strides to take. There's a lot of strides to take, and I believe he will make them. Let's go ahead and grab a break on that note. Hour number two is next. David Cobb from CBS Sports. I haven't talked to him in a while. I didn't even get to text him during the whole break, so I'll catch up with David on the other side. A lot of things change during a new year, but some things stay the same, and what's going to stay the same right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show is David Cobb joining every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. He is from CBS Sports, covering college basketball, college football. He's also a role player here at 92.9 FM ESPN, like I mentioned, Monday, Wednesday, Friday with me right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, then Thursdays with Jeffrey Wright and company. David, how was your fill me in, holiday, new year, everything smooth?
Yeah, it was great, man. We had a great Christmas, happy new year. Really enjoyed the college football playoff quarterfinals.
Yes.
Given us a semifinal round that I don't think many would have expected. And obviously a big shout out and congratulations to Jeff Calkins on a fantastic run on the airwaves. Just a great run. I remember listening to Jeff back when he was at 56, like with George Lapidus way back in the day.
Yeah.
So he's been on the airwaves in Memphis for a long, long time. So salute to Jeff for a really nice run.
Yeah. And for those that don't know, we'll have a do lineup configuration. 9-12 will be J&J, 12-3 Jeffrey Wright and company, and then 3-6. So I'm moving up an hour right here for the Gabe Kuhn Show. But we'll talk about that a little bit more later. David, my son got his first stomach bug alongside me while I was in San Diego.
Oof.
I hope that doesn't hit you anytime soon.
How'd that play out?
Not fun, because I was sick while it was happening. That's just, you know, so it wasn't great. It wasn't great. But it was a good time out in San Diego. I went to the Holiday Bowl parade. He enjoyed that. Cheated on the AutoZone Liberty Bowl a little bit.
So I also had sickness shared with me by my infant daughter. So thankfully it was not of the variety that you had there. And then also you talking about going to San Diego, that reminds me, I need to get with you. Might need a fill-in at the end of the month. Sarah and I are going out to San Diego ourselves, and then we're hopping over to Hawaii for a few days. So I'm pretty excited about that coming up here in about 3 or 4 weeks.
Are you going to be in San Diego for a couple of days or just the one day before you go to Hawaii?
Like 3 days. I guess so. It's for a conference for her. And then we're like, well, since we're already going to be out there and we already got childcare and pet care arranged, so we might as well hop over to the islands for a couple nights.
Yeah, no, San Diego's good. Have you ever been?
So I've been to San Diego, never been to Hawaii.
Okay,
San Diego, though, I mean, you know, it's just like, the weather is just unbelievable at all times. And like I get this time of year in particular, I get a little stir crazy and I get sick of it getting dark at 5 o'clock and it being cold all the time. So that's exactly what I need.
All right. So Final Four in college football, Miami with the win over Ohio State, Ole Miss with the win over Georgia, Oregon handled business against Texas Tech, and then Indiana. I mean, this is not how I expected this to play out, but here we are, and I have to start in one place. I want to talk about the Alabama side of this Indiana shellacking, 38-3. It was very apparent from the get-go, Alabama probably should not have been on the same field as Indiana. They just didn't measure up in the trenches, on the out, what everything Indiana was better at. So what was your reaction looking at the Alabama side of this? Let's just call it what it is, ass whipping.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, not shocked, not surprised. I think I told Connor, you know, on Friday, and look, I've been wrong about a lot of stuff in this college football playoff bracket. I mean, this is a guy who thought Texas Tech was going to make some noise, and they did the opposite of that. They shriveled up in a ball and died. But I was right about Indiana, Alabama, and Indiana just being a far more physical, far better football team. But in some respect, I think the way Alabama lost may actually benefit them moving forward, because it's such a wake-up call, such a reality check. It's such a wow, this is where we are sort of moment that you can't help but respond in a very significant way if you're Kalen DeBoer. This is the welcome to big boy college football moment for him to decide whether or not he's going to put a physical product out there on the field in the future moving forward. Because I think a lot of the talking heads who only pay attention to the SEC, we get so siloed up into our leagues and our territory in college football. And so many people who didn't pay attention to Indiana all season thought, oh, well, Alabama's just going to waltz out there with that crimson A on the side of their helmet and show Indiana what real college football is all about. And the fact that it went just the opposite of that is, you know, Alabama, the reality check for them, but then also for the rest of the country now realizing, hey, the Nick Saban era is over. Alabama has to recalibrate here. And I think they're evaluating right now everything in their program. I mean, you're seeing a lot of smoke around Ty Simpson. Is he the guy they want to move forward with as their quarterback? Because I think that the problems, Gabe, they run way deeper than the quarterback. However, if you are not going to have a great running game and you're not going to have a tremendous offensive line, you need a quarterback who's a little bit more
freaking
dynamic.
Cam Newton is what you need.
You're right. But right. But even somebody who can just run it a little bit would be the sort of wrinkle or dynamism that you need in that Alabama offense. And then the defense it's a whole other issue. I mean, I said it all year long. The only thing Alabama's defense was great at was forcing occasional game-changing turnovers. I mean, that was their recipe against Tennessee, against Oklahoma, in the first round of the playoffs. It's how they got as far as they did, coming up with huge game-changing turnovers that helped score points when the offense couldn't. Well, you got to get more dominant defensively. You can't rely on opponents making killer mistakes, because guess what? Eventually you're going to run up against a team like Indiana that doesn't make mistakes, and then you're in trouble. So I think they've got to go back to the drawing board and reevaluate pretty much everything in their program.
All right. Now, also, we need to reevaluate how we view the SEC to a certain extent. And bear with me here. I know we've been doing this the past couple of years with the Big Ten winning national titles with Michigan and Ohio State. But it's become more apparent to me that the Big Ten's powers are leveling up while the SEC's powers, the Georgias and Alabamas, have taken a step back. And it's pretty interesting to watch in real time. Right now, the SEC in postseason play 4-9. 4-9. Mm-hmm. One of those wins against the G5, one of those wins against themselves, but it's just not been good for the SEC. And I have a working take on this, and I want to get your opinion on it. And obviously, the NIL and transfer portal and all the freedom of movement has changed a lot. You can turn over a roster, you can pay for said roster, and everybody can get involved with that. But I'm looking at the Big Ten and I'm looking at the SEC. The Big Ten and the consolidation of power, obviously Indiana has stepped up, but the consolidation of power is still about the same when it comes to getting guys in the region or five stars, blue chippers, seems about the same. They're going to Oregon, they're going to Michigan, they're going to Ohio State, they're going to Penn State. That's what it looks like. So the consolidation of power seems to be the same. They're still as top heavy as they've ever been, and maybe they're getting a little bit better at the top. But with the SEC, now what I'm seeing is the consolidation of recruits and power is everywhere, right? Mm-hmm. Jared Curtis just flipped his commitment from Georgia to Vandy, right? Everybody is just picking apart the you know, talent there in the Southeast, whether from Vandy to, you know, South Carolina has gotten some fun. Like, everybody is getting a piece of some of these recruits coming out. So, like,
yeah.
Do you feel similarly, or am I off base with that?
It's a really good opinion. It's a really good take. So, for example, like the Georgia defensive two deep isn't littered with the same amount of former top 100 prospects that it used to be. Those guys are going, to your point, to multiple different schools within the SEC footprint. Meanwhile, your Minnesotas, your Illinois, your Iowas, they still got all the same type of players that they always had. But in the SEC, where you have so much invested in every football program across the conference, the talent is spreading out. So I know the SEC is having a bad football postseason. I do still believe the SEC is deeper than the Big Ten. If you did an SEC Big Ten challenge like we do for the SEC and the ACC in basketball, I think the SEC would win it. I think the SEC's teams 5 through 12 are better than the Big Ten's teams 5 through 12. But 1 through 4, it's now been proven.
Growing gap, it seems like, until something changes.
Yeah, who's going to be that next dominant SEC team to step up and do what Joe Burrow did, or do what Mac Jones did, or do what those Georgia defenses did in 2021 and 2022, right? It's been a minute now since we've had a team like that in the SEC.
I may lose you on this, but this is going to be an interesting point of discussion. I'm warning you. Big Ten, normally that Midwest footprint. Obviously, they went to the East Coast with Rutgers, but Rutgers doesn't recruit all that well. But when they brought in teams, they brought in Oregon, they brought in USC, brought in West Coast teams. So a lot of the original footprint of that conference from a recruiting standpoint is still intact. Oregon can recruit their West Coast guys, while Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State can recruit the same Midwestern guys that they've always recruited out of Ohio otherwise. Whereas in the SEC, they added two schools in Texas and Oklahoma who recruit in the same grounds as them. You see what I'm saying? Like, it shows maybe, you know, the expansion out west from a talent perspective, keeping the recruiting grounds the same, may have been an advantage to a certain extent for the Big Ten over what the SEC did in staying in their geographical footprint, even though, you know, my take on it.
Yeah, I'd love to see some like data on what that's done for the Big Ten in recruiting, and if you're getting more West Coast guys interested in Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, right, et cetera, as a result of that. Now another, let's throw another element onto the fire here that works in the Big Ten's favor now is, I think, the collection of coaches that we are seeing assemble in the Big Ten is moving forward, only going to solidify this situation here, because you look at Penn State, they get Matt Campbell, who's long been one of the best coaches in the Big 12. I mean, that's just a huge hire. You get Michigan landing Kyle Whittingham, again, one of the absolute best coaches coming from another Power Four league to coach in your conference. Meanwhile, the SEC, what do? They went out and basically just got the best of the American. You know, I mean, no disrespect, but I'd rather have Kyle Whittingham than I would Alex Golesh, because he's proven it for three decades at Utah over some of these American coaches who have some talent, who have some promise, but are still young and relatively unproven. And same with Penn State and Matt Campbell. I would take Penn State in that hire over every hire that every other SEC school made except for Lane Kiffin. And that was poaching from within the conference. So it's not even like you went out and added a coach to your conference there. You just played a game of musical chairs from within your league on that one. So you look across the board, and I think the coaching talent in the Big Ten now is
that's a great point.
Pretty doggone good. When you're talking about even some of your down ballot coaches now, you look at like a Matt Rhule who's at Nebraska. I mean, I would take him over like a Jeff Lebby at Mississippi State, right? Like, so it's a pretty, you know, and I'm curious too, like Bob Chesney, like at UCLA, like, can he pop, and is he going to turn out better than some of these SEC hires? I think he could. I think that's a part of it too, is like the talent, and it's not just players, it's coaches too.
Yeah. We haven't caught up on the Michigan hire. It was about as good as humanly possible, right? Considering the circumstance. I did wonder why Kyle Whittingham stepped away from Utah when he did, and it had to do with Morgan Scalley being in waiting, and when was he going to step away. But when you talk about a guy who can get results, who can win, who can bring in decent talent, and keep the program stable and clean, I cannot think of a better name, really, in college football. That was a perfect backdoor, they backed into one of the best hires they could have made.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, Penn State did the same thing. You know, two examples that I've talked a lot about here just, you know, during our conversation, they both sort of backed into really great hires from the Big 12. And so, I mean, my question with Kyle Whittingham and Michigan is just, does it work? Like, you've been with Morgan Scalley for 15 years or whatever now, and he's been the author of your defense. Now, you've gotten a mastery of that Big 12 and that sort of talent level and what you need to be successful at Utah, where you know the president, you basically run the school, you are the school, the face of it in many respects. Now you go to Michigan, where they have their own history and their own leadership problems, mind you. And so just, does it work? Like, you're leveling up at a late stage in your career. But most of what you said, I think, is totally inarguable. I mean, he is a proven coach who can sort of be the adult in the room that Michigan has needed for so long. And, I get it. From that standpoint, I think it makes a lot of sense. It's just Kyle Whittingham is nearing the end. And so in that standpoint, it's like you also could have ridden it out with Biff Pogge for 1 year, then been front of the line on next year's carousel to go out and get who you want. But I'm totally open to this being a really positive thing for Michigan. He's not going to run that program into the ground. He's going to shepherd it well. Yeah. Can he shepherd it to a championship level? That's what I have my questions about. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, like, he did have some good teams at Utah. They didn't win the Rose Bowl, though. They would get to the Rose Bowl, but they wouldn't win it. They can never really break through. So it's like, can he break through at Michigan? Does he know how to go out and get the elite cream of the crop level player? And then does he know how to coach that player? Because for so long at Utah, it was getting the Samoan guys, some of the three-star guys, building a culture that was really unique to Utah. I just think some of that might be hard to replicate at Michigan. That's my one little concern there.
Yeah. So are you colder on that hire than the Matt Campbell hire at Penn State?
I think so. I think Matt Campbell is he's younger and is at a place where there will be at least a little more patience with him.
Sure.
Whereas at Michigan, the national title standard has been set there by Jim Harbaugh, and they expect to win championships and be in the Big Ten championship game and beat Ohio. Like, there's a laundry list of things that you have to accomplish at Michigan to be successful. At Penn State, it's like, okay, just eventually at some point in a span of 15 years, please get us to a national championship game. You know, that's all they asked of James Franklin, and he can never quite get it done. I think that both are good hires, but just due to the kind of the age factor there with Matt Campbell and the what the expectations are at Penn State, I think he's got a much better chance to be successful.
Now, bear with me, and I get that point, and I think that's well said. I was a lot higher on the Matt Campbell hire till he, and this isn't surprising either. I expected a little bit of this, but he's bringing over the whole Iowa State team, starting with Rocco Becht at quarterback. And I maybe down the road he'll get, you know, better talent. But that doesn't give me a whole lot of confidence for year one.
Oh, that's what he's doing for now. Like, he's installing the floor right now. I mean, you know, you can't decorate the house until you put the floors in, right? You don't want to start moving furniture in before you got the walls painted. He's painting the walls and putting the carpet in with these Iowa State transfers. They're going to be the floor for him, just like all the James Madison guys were the floor for Kurt Cignetti. And then they're going to go out and decorate. They're going to go out and get the big-time players that a Penn State can get. But, I mean, that is a question. Matt Campbell, same as Kyle Whittingham, has always constructed programs with the guys who had a chip on their shoulder, who just wanted a chance to play at the Power 4 level. Maybe some of them just wanted a chance to play at the D1 level, FBS. And now you're at Penn State where you can do so much more from a talent perspective. But when you start wading into the waters of guys who have a $1 million price tag next to their name, and you go out and maybe get three or four of those guys to be a part of this transfer class, though, you have to coach them differently because they have different expectations. They come with handlers. They come with expectations. They come with there are certain like when you recruit guys like that, they get to pick their jersey numbers. They get to pick how many reps they take, right? Like, it's, you know, there's a certain element of coaching highly talented college football players that Matt Campbell's probably really never had to deal with before. And so one, you got to be able to get them, which I think he will be able to. I don't think that'll be a problem. But then you got to figure out how to coach them and make them fit within your culture. And so that's going to be the challenge for Matt Campbell, who came from the MAC and then who went and coached at what was basically a MAC plus school at Iowa State. It's like, all right, great. You can get all this talent now, but do you have the personality, the leadership skills to coach and shepherd that talent? I think he does. I think over a span of 10 years at Iowa State, like, he proved that he's a really good leader of men, and I think that'll translate. It just may not be seamless or immediate.
All right, now let's talk through these games that we'll see coming up on Thursday and Friday and make some picks. We'll start with Thursday, 6:30, Fiesta Bowl on ESPN, Miami, number 10 seed, versus Ole Miss, the number 6 seed. Now, Miami's been unbelievable in these first two games. What they did to Marcel Reed and A&M was insane. Reuben Bain and Akeem Mesidor are great. But then they did the exact same thing against Ohio State. So they showed that they can do it even against a step up in competition. But I will say this. While I am going to pick Miami to win and to cover, I think Ole Miss is uniquely able as an offense to potentially get past the Akeem Mesidor, Reuben Bain Jr. problem. A lot of RPO, mobile quarterback, who's less erratic than the guy that Miami saw in round one and Marcel Reed. Trinidad Chambliss has been phenomenal. So, like, what are your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, so Miami getting here, a lot of it had to do with Marcel Reed being erratic, a couple of big turnovers in that game. Then for Ohio State, just a brutal pick six that Julian Sayin threw, essentially a 14-point swing in that game. We don't see Trinidad Chambliss making those same kind of errors. In fact, Ole Miss had a catastrophic fumble in the Sugar Bowl against Georgia, Kawan Lacy, and they recovered from that. And so if you eliminate the turnovers that really Ohio State or that Miami fed on against Texas A&M and Ohio State, Ole Miss can win this game because as good as Mark Fletcher Jr. is on the ground for Miami, I think Kawan Lacy is just as good. And then I think Trinidad Chambliss versus Carson Beck, I think you're taking Trinidad Chambliss. So, and because of the reasons you mentioned, like, I don't know that Miami front seven is going to be able to feast, you know, quite the same way that they did against the other teams they've played in this playoff so far. So, I'm picking Ole Miss to win the game, and a lot of that is due to Trinidad Chambliss. I mean, that guy was absolutely unbelievable against Georgia. But the thing is, he's kind of been that way all season. He has been the best quarterback in college football, and I firmly believe that. I know Fernando Mendoza won the Heisman Trophy. But if Trinidad Chambliss had started from day one and I had to wait to take over the job, and had Lane Kiffin created the sideshow – That's what I'm saying. I think he very well would have, because statistically he's produced more yards per game than anybody else in college football. So it's just it doesn't show up because he logged those two garbage time games in their first games of the season. So those kind of count against them when you're looking at total offense and everything, because you know he was just in late in the game in those two games. But man, when he has started, he's been the most productive quarterback in the country. And so you get a player like that on this stage, he showed it. I mean, this past week against Georgia, he can do something special. And so I'm going to take the team that has the special quarterback.
And then Friday night, Oregon versus Indiana, number 5 versus number 1. Indiana 4-point favorites. My immediate thought would be, okay, Indiana won this ball game. Maybe, you know, the idea it's hard to beat the same team twice. But, you know, I kind of get past that because Kurt Cignetti is Kurt Cignetti. Fernando Mendoza is Fernando Mendoza. And they just don't seem to have letdowns. Also, for Oregon to avenge their loss that they had in Autzen 30-20 early in the season, they're going to have to run the ball. And I feel like I'm a broken record when I'm talking about teams playing Indiana. You're going to have to run the ball to be successful. You're going to have to run the ball to be successful. No one can do it. No one has been able to do it. So I think for those reasons, I have Indiana.
Yeah, Oregon's offense to me was pretty uninspiring in the quarterfinal win over Texas Tech. They didn't have to do a whole lot because Texas Tech was so inept offensively. But that Texas Tech defense, they reeked havoc, honestly, on Oregon. Oregon looked disjointed. They were having trouble snapping the football. They were picking up penalties. They looked sloppy on offense. It looks like an offense whose coordinator is mostly checked out and ready to start his head coaching job. That I'm just being honest. And so you look at the first meeting then, in that matchup, I mean, Fernando Mendoza had an ugly pick six, and yet Indiana still won that game by 10 points on the road. Now you get them on a neutral field. This Indiana team playing the way it is, I think they're going to be really, really hard to beat. Here's one for you that I just keep coming back to. All right. When opponents get into the red zone against Oregon, they score touchdowns 67% of the time. Basically, two-thirds of the time, they score a touchdown. Indiana basically gives up a touchdown a quarter of the time when you get in the red zone against them.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the most – I mean, that's where games are won or lost this time of year, because if Oregon gets into the red zone and they either have to settle for a field goal or go for it on fourth down and get stopped, I mean, Indiana gets in the red zone and they score, you know? And so, I mean, that's where I see the difference being made in this game, and that an Indiana team just doesn't make a whole lot of mistakes. And so this Oregon team, unless they had a real reckoning offensively over the past week and really cleaned some things up, I think Indiana wins this game.
Yeah, and the conversations – we're going to start having about Kurt Cignetti if he wins the national title this year in year two at Indiana. I don't even know if I'm ready for him. I don't know how those conversations need to go because it's unbelievable. And on top of that, everybody complaining about the calendar in college football, Sig goes and gets Josh Hoover and a bunch of other players. I mean, he's got like six high-level commits out of the transfer portal already, even though his team's still playing. I mean, he's great everywhere. He does everything well, it seems, as a coach.
Yeah, I'll say it, Gabe. If Indiana wins the national championship, we can start talking about Kurt Cignetti as the greatest college football coach of all time.
Really? After one FBS national title?
I mean, it's not his fault he didn't get a Power 4 head coach.
And I don't disagree because it's about circumstance as well. It's about circumstance.
Yeah. He took a different route, man. He took the I'm going to work my way up from D2 to FCS to G5 to Power 4, and not just any Power 4. He took the lowest P4 job on the totem pole, and I think there's something to be said for taking that route, because a lot of guys who were in a position coach under Nick Saban, like Kurt Cignetti was, they would have said, oh, well, I'm just going to stick around here and be a fly on the wall in the rooms and do my recruiting and take the abuse from Saban and then hope for a coordinator job and then hope for a head coaching job. And that's the path we've seen so many coaches take. Some of them have succeeded. Some of them have not. Kurt Cignetti said, no, I'm going to go be a head coach, and I'm going to fail as a head coach, and then I'm going to learn and grow and develop outside the spotlight. And then when I get my opportunity, I'm going to be ready. And boy, he's been ready.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I mean, what he's done, it's absolutely unreal.
Yeah, you say go fail as a head coach. I've looked at his record from D2 all the way to Indiana. Not much failing. You know, that's that apparent, but I digress. But, David, I'll let you roll,
greatest
man.
Greatest of all time.
Yeah, greatest of all time. You're the greatest of all time. Appreciate it, David.
No, man, thanks. Happy New Year to you, and talk soon.
Yes, sir, back at you. He is David Cobb at David W. Cobb on X, college football, college basketball for CBS Sports, also a role player here at 92.9 FM ES.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year, because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces, like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
PN, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Gabe Kuhn Show, Thursdays with Jeffrey Wright and Company. What do you think about that, what David just said, Connor?
About the greatest?
If he was to win in year two, have two losses to his name in 2 years at Indiana, he says I would put him up there in a conversation for greatest coach of all time.
Not yet.
I'm with you. Right? Like, I need to see multiple
championships. If he has sustained success like this at Indiana, then sure.
But I have no reason to believe it won't sustain.
Now,
he could maybe get there. He's older.
What he could be in the argument for is greatest turnaround of a program. He might already be there.
Is there an argument? I don't know if there's an argument. I think he is.
Yeah.
Greatest turnaround.
So, because doing this in two seasons
at Indiana.
Absurd.
At Indiana.
Right.
That always has to be added. So, like, don't know if I'm quite with David, although if someone wants to make that argument, I'm not going to be mad, okay? I'm not going to be mad because circumstance means a lot. I don't think it's right, but I'm not going to be angry.
It feels like for the first time since Saban stepped away, we have an opportunity for the crown of best coach in college football to be not discussed anymore. Like, if he wins the championship with Indiana, even if he makes it the championship, you can probably crown him as best sitting head coach in college
football.
What
about right now? I'd say yes. I'd say best sitting
head coach. I would still probably say yes right now.
Yeah.
I think if Kirby had been still in the playoff, maybe you could talk about Kirby Smart, but yeah, right? Cignetti has a hell of a case. All time, though, not yet.
Again, I go back to the 247. I don't know if I mentioned this on the show before I left, but 247 did like a roster breakdown of all the teams that were in the college football playoff. Of course, in the bottom three, two of the three were James Madison and Tulane. But what really shocked me about 247's high school rating system and the players on the Indiana roster, they had less 4 stars than Tulane on this particular roster.
Really? Fewer 4 stars
out of high school.
Wow.
I don't know about transfer portal stars. That's a different animal. High school his players, huh, they had less four stars out of high school than Tulane.
Wow.
It's amazing.
I mean, I love his philosophy too. Like, he did a speech recently where he talked about he doesn't expect everybody to be there all day and all night. Like, he's like, yeah, we show up at 7:30, you
hour
get your work
30,
done,
hour
go
45,
home.
Gone.
Go home. Yeah. He's like, 5 o'clock, 5:30. If you're done with your work, go home.
And I like his quote.
And he talks about how he doesn't overwork his players. He doesn't do unnecessary workouts. He wants them as fresh as they possibly can be for their games.
And I find it very interesting, his recruiting philosophy. While a lot of people chase five stars and four stars and blue chips, he has said it on multiple occasions, production over potential. Production over potential. And it's working out for him. Now, let's go ahead and grab a break on that note. We'll come back. The playoffs are set, so let's get to a trip around the National Football League. Back in on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN. It's time to take a trip around the National Football League. We have a lot of firing, some coaches and GMs being retained. There's a lot of stories to get to. All right, so I guess coaches that coach the Las Vegas Raiders since they've moved to Vegas sort of use the same methodology, ideas that we use when we travel to Vegas. You can only stay for about 3 days. Anything past that's the worst. They have fired Pete Carroll after one season. 3-14, they have the number one overall pick. I guess he gifted them that, but the Geno Smith, Tom Brady era, Ashton Ginty era, off to a horrible start. They're going to get a new head coach. But this is what I mean by taking the same methodology as we take when we travel to Vegas. 2021, John Gruden resigned. 2022, Josh McDaniels was hired. 2023, Josh McDaniels was fired. 2024, Antonio Pierce was hired. 2025, Antonio Pierce was fired. 2025, Pete Carroll's hired. 2026, Pete Carroll is fired. Find somebody, try to stick with them. I don't blame you for firing a 73-year-old Pete Carroll. I get that. It was awful. It was miserable from the start. But go find a good coach. And I think one of the biggest issues they're having with the hiring process is I don't know if anybody's ready to get in bed with that ownership, if you will. Right? I don't know if people trust the Raiders ownership enough to take that job as a good head coach. So we'll see who they get, but they need to find something, because they've had 3 1-year coaches in a row. That's unacceptable for any franchise in sports, but certainly in the National Football League. Browns fired Kevin Stefanski. 5-12. It was time. Now, according to Ian Rappaport, he is going to be one of the hottest names in the coaching market to get another job. I believe from what I have read, the Falcons, the Giants, and the Titans have all reached out to him. They want to interview him. And I think all three of those franchises could do a lot worse. They've shown it with the hire that they just fired. Like, I get it. But can I ask an honest question? What is the allure around Kevin Stefanski? What makes people think he's this tremendous championship caliber head coach? He had two winning seasons in Cleveland in 6, and he is overall 45-56, 1-2 in the playoffs. Now, I know he got a playoff win in Cleveland, and maybe we should be throwing a parade for him for that, but what am I missing? Because largely what I saw in the two seasons that he made the playoffs is he's an offensive head coach, right? An offense that's fine, good running game, as long as he had the O-line in place. But I saw a Jim Schwartz defense and Myles Garrett really put them over the top in both of those seasons. It wasn't his offense. So, like, I sit here on a constant basis and I ask these questions about Kevin Stefanski, yet everyone seems to have the same opinion that he's a good head football coach, championship-level head football coach, and he should get a job. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I also think with the quarterback position, yeah, he wasn't dealt a great hand in Cleveland, but I also don't think he made it better. He has a system of ground and pound, get to play action, that a lot of the quarterbacks that he had didn't really run, and he was never able to morph his system to fit them. Baker Mayfield, Deshaun Watson, whoever it was, just never could. So, listen, those three franchises I mentioned could do a lot worse, but Kevin Stefanski, to me, the book's out on him, and I don't think he's that – he's a middling head coach in the National Football League. That's what I think of him. They just cleared house. Raheem Morris, head coach out. GM Terry Fontenot, CEO. They fired their CEO, Rich McKay, so they're going to have to completely rebuild. Don't mind Raheem Morris being fired, although Drake London and a couple of other guys came to his defense saying they wanted him to stay. But Terry Fontenot is an interesting one. Their GM. I'm going to go through the picks, the first-round draft picks he's made in the past five drafts. Kyle Pitts, Drake London, Bijan Robinson, Michael Penix Jr., Jalen Walker, James Pierce. James Pierce just finished a season where he may win Defensive Rookie of the Year. He was 10.5 sacks when he finished with this year. Of those picks, like, which one jumps out to you to say, okay, this guy needs to be fired immediately? I don't think any of them do. Now, it's later that you probably run into the issues, but they're going to have to fix it. They're going to have to go hire a bunch of new guys behind the scenes, and it's going to be a new organization dang near by the time we get to 2026 this season. Zach Taylor, head coach for the Bengals, is going to be retained. Duke Tobin, their GM, is going to be retained. Not really much there to talk about. Just need to get Joe Burrow healthy, and maybe they'll have a good season next year. Giants retain Joe Shane? Why? What? I mean, Jackson Dart, like, you think that was that good of a pick where you keep him around even though you fired that coach? I don't really understand it. But, hey, Giants are going to Giant. Oh, God. This is insane. The Jets were outscored 188-54 over their final five games of the season. All five were losses. Also, they made history in the sense that they were the first team to not have a single interception the entire season.
That's actually insane. With how much people throw in the NFL.
What's more insane, the fact that they haven't gotten an interception, which probably will take the cake here, or the fact that the combined stats of the quarterbacks that played against the New York Jets threw for 3,849 yards, 36 touchdowns, and zero interceptions in 17 games. Which one's crazier to you? I think they're both futile.
I mean, they're both disgusting. Basically the same thing. The thing that jumps out is the no interceptions.
Yeah, true. True. But it was capped off by a losing to the Mitch Trubisky Bills 35-8. Trubisky's line, 22 for 29, 259 yards, four touchdowns, no interceptions. Mitch Trubisky in 2026, ladies and gentlemen. Back to the Cleveland Browns for a positive reason. Myles Garrett set the single-season sack record. According to Next Gen Stats, too, Myles Garrett, in that fourth quarter, 5 minutes to go, sacking Joe Burrow, he had to get off of the line in 0.23 seconds for that record-breaking sack. To put that into context, his average get off, and he's one of the fastest, is 0.70. He's a freak of nature, and he really wanted that sack. That's what that tells me. And for people saying that Joe Burrow took a fall, shut up. He got off the line at insane speed. Left tackle never had a chance. And I've been seeing a lot about the 17-game versus 16-game season.
Snaps.
Michael Strahan, 22.5 sacks, set the record in a 16-game season. But I was going to get to that. Do you have the numbers in front? I don't have the numbers in front of me.
No, but it's significant difference.
Of the top three leaders in sacks in the history of a single season, Myles Garrett has the least amount of snaps taken to get to the 23 number. Michael Strahan had more snaps, and T.J. Watt had more snaps. So we can talk about the 17 game versus 16 all we want, but I think that's something we need to look at a little closer.
It looks like T.J. Watt had 616. Myles Garrett was around 437.
That's silly.
That's crazy.
That is absolutely silly. Matt Stafford took over as the favorite to win MVP. I think, if you just do an amalgamation of all the different books, he's at minus 180. Fair or foul? Drake May still have a shot?
I think it's fair. I know Patriots fans are pissed off, but I don't know, man. I think that the strength of schedule does matter. When the stats are as close as they are, I do think taking into account who they played matters.
He led the league in passing yardage, and he's 46 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. That's silly. It's absolutely silly, and his team's great. I think the only case I'd make is Drake May probably has less around him.
Sure, I think that's fair. I think there's an argument for both. Because I just personally lean
Stafford.
Did
Josh Allen not win for that kind of very reason last year? Less around him, did more with less?
Kind of.
But also, the Patriots are a damn good football team, good offensive line, can run the ball, can do a lot of different things. So I don't know if it's the same as it was a year.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab.
We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
A year ago with Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. And Small Talk is brought to you by Conway Services, reputable service available 7 days a week. I wanted to take this time here at the end of the second hour to wish a farewell, to bid a farewell to our good friend Jeff Calkins. He will join the show Tuesday and Thursday, but after 16 years at the station, he is stepping away. He's going to focus mostly on his writing with the Daily Memphian. So you'll still see him over there, but it was a heck of a run for Jeff, and I guess I wish him the best in his future endeavors. I guess I do.
Yeah, unbelievable run from Jeff Calkins. He is synonymous with Memphis sports here in the city of Memphis, and it was a pleasure to work with him as long as we were able to. Feel lucky to be able to work Absolutely. With Jeff, have conversations with Jeff. I feel like I always walked away a smarter human being than I was going into the conversation.
Yes, and that does change some things around here. For us.
Especially for us.
Yes. 9 to 12 will now be J&J, Jason and John. 12 to 3, Jeffrey Wright and Company. And then 3 to 6. So not 4 to 7 anymore. 3 to 6 right here. Same thing. Going into 2026, me and Connor will give you the Gabe Kuhn Show. And also, on top of that, we have something else new. We rolled it out at the end of 2025. But in 2026, we're all set up. We're ready to go. Video stream. We're going to video stream yes. every single show live. You can watch it on Twitch. You can watch it on YouTube, Twitter, and a couple of other places.
Yeah, shout out to George and Alan, our engineer. They did incredible work getting this stream up and running, and they deserve a ton of credit.
George moving on up right here at the company.
I know, winning fantasy football.
What a stud.
No, he's crushing it, dude.
And we take some credit.
We
right,
absolutely.
George, because I think the,
listen, we already,
I think the
I already
official
claimed.
Intro from George 2929 was slightly through me, it although was, I was asked by our fearless leader, Brad Carson,
yeah,
about him.
It was through us.
And I said,
I
vouch for him. I vouch for him.
Yeah, we believed
Not that
in
I
George.
Needed to.
We believed in George before any of you did. All right? That fantasy football, it counts on our tab.
Yes, it does. I finished fourth, though. I lost to Jason in the third place.
I was second.
Although
That's
I didn't
okay.
even check my line.
Oh yeah, you didn't even try.
I was pissed.
Didn't even try.
I'm like the SEC. I'm good in.
It just means more, Gabe. Fantasy football means more on this show.
I'm good in hypothetical matchups. Damn it! All right, hour number three is on the way. We'll lead it off with the associate executive director of the AutoZone Liberty Bowl after a very successful 67th AutoZone Liberty Bowl, where Navy beat Cincinnati 35-13. We will bring on Harold on the other side.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. One in four students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.